Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works. No matter what side you are, you're going to be mine, you are. Kindle astrology, chart our destiny.
Have you noticed this? Two things. First of all, the millennial generation, they're kind of utilitarian, I would say postmodern. They use and adopt a lot of things, appropriate a lot of things, but those things that they use in their lives, they don't necessarily believe they have to be true. There's a recent article in The Atlantic on the new age of astrology, and millennials are adopting the ideas of astrology without necessarily believing that those ideas are true, but they are useful for their lives, where they find some sort of utility in them. It's kind of a new view of this old art. Some would have believed it was a science of astrology. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about this recent story in The Atlantic, A New Age of Astrology. Marcia Montenegro joins us. She spent 8 years as a professional astrologist. She's founder of Christian Answers for the New Age. Marcia, welcome back.
Hello, Todd. Thank you so much for having me on.
When you were a professional astrologist, did you believe that it was really true? This was the real deal, how the universe worked?
Yes, I did. I did believe in it. I believed that the placement of planets and the sun and moon at certain times reflected a reality that was beyond what we could see. And so if you learned to interpret that language, then you could apply it to what was going on in life. So I saw it as sort of another language to learn, and that it did reflect actual reality in the sense of major kind of forces going on in the world, and also, but down to details of who you were as a person, because your birth chart would actually be, it wasn't so much that the birth chart made you who you are, but it reflected who you are as you came into the world.
I've always wondered about that, whether the stars are watched by astrologists as the cause or as merely the projection, so to speak, of what's going on in your life or what's happening in the world. It sounds like it's the second.
Well, yes. I think a lot of people think, astrologers think, that they're looking at the planets as influencing things. I think that's more of a view that goes back to older times, to the medieval ages and maybe even before that. But starting in the 1900s, when psychology began to come into its own field, so to speak, several astrologers adopted psychological approaches to the birth chart. And this changed the way astrology, at least in the West, viewed the chart of a person. So no longer was it seen as this fixed kind of influence. It was seen more as, here are the planets that you were born with. They represent who you are. They represent patterns in your life. And how you react to them is going to determine what happens. So it's not that fixed. So it's, in other words, they're like these options for you based on what the planets represent in the chart and what sign they're in and what house they're in. So the astrologer puts all that together, and it became a more fluid kind of thing and more open-ended. So this idea that the stars are like shooting down these rays or something that make you do things or make you a certain way, that is, as far as I know, that is no longer held by any Western astrologer.
So how do you account for the resurgence of interest in and even kind of a use of astrology among millennials who, in part, grown up in an age of extreme skepticism about such things. How do you account for it, Marcia?
Yeah, I find this very interesting. This article in The Atlantic was extremely interesting to me, and I thought they did a good job. I think it's interesting that astrology has not lost its charm for a skeptical generation, that even skeptics can be drawn to it. And according to the article, the skeptical millennials are not embracing it wholeheartedly as, yes, this is truth, this is the answer, this is going to help me know what to do with my life. They're still skeptical, but they distance themselves from it, and at the same time they don't want to reject it. So they're saying, you know, this is a useful tool, this is a language, I can see it related to my life. And even if they think that maybe they're applying it to their life and seeing it work because of the way they view it, that it's not actually the reality of astrology, they still think it's okay. So they're kind of doing a marriage between skepticism and belief, which sounds like an oxymoron. But the article points out that this is a very paradoxical generation, and they can kind of combine things that seem opposite. And astrology, because if you think there's anything to it at all, even if you don't think it's completely true, but if you think maybe there's some little part of it that could be applicable to your life, and you apply it, or you do something, you look at a chart or someone tells you, well, this means this in the next 3 months, and you find it useful, then you're going to accept it. You're going to say, well, okay, I'm not going to go out and tell people I believe in astrology, but this worked for me. So it kind of comes down to a very practical kind of way to accept it. If it works for me, then I'm going to use it. I don't have to go around and say I believe in it completely. So it's interesting to me. They kind of don't completely embrace it, but they don't reject it, and they want to use it. They want to see it as a useful tool in their lives. I just find it very intriguing. And I think astrology is probably one of the oldest forms of divination in existence. I mean, it goes way, way back. So far back, we're not sure. I mean, the Babylonians for sure. But, and it continues. The popularity of astrology never really dips. It's always somewhat even. Usually 30 to 35% of the population in the U.S. will say they believe in it. And it continues to be popular. Horoscope columns are still popular. Astrologers still get business. And I foresee it going on that way. So it's just interesting. This is kind of like a different take on it from this millennial generation.
Marcia Montenegro is our guest. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with her a little bit more about this Atlantic article, A New Age of Astrology, talking about the popularity of astrology in a slightly different way with the millennial generation. She spent 8 years as a professional astrologist, and she's founder of Christian Answers for the New Age.
And peace will guide the planet, and love will steer the star. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
When Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
When your family gathered around Die Hard this Christmas, did all the Plutarch make you feel like benighted schlubs? Maybe you need a classical education. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, is offering a free primer on the what's, whys, and hows of classical education on Sunday, January 28th. The Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak of Concordia University, Chicago, will preach for divine services at 7:45 and 10 and speak at noon on how classical education truly prepares children for the future. Lunch and a school open house are included. Join Dr. Korchak at St. Paul Hamel, Greater St. Louis's only classical Lutheran school, to learn about
benefits of a classical education.
Find us at stpaulhamel.org.
Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Here's what you'll find in the latest Issues Etc. journal. I've written a column titled A Letter to Ex-Evangelicals. Pastor Rob Kieslowski has detailed his journey to the Lutheran Christian tradition, and Dr. Ken Sherb writes about the story of an entire city's journey to the Reformation, Strasbourg, France. We'll send you the Issues Etc. journal for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
It's time to say goodbye to Pisces. Goodbye.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Marcia Montenegro is our guest. She spent 8 years as a professional astrologist. We're talking about a recent article in The Atlantic titled A New Age of Astrology. So how does it work then? Are the millennials going to go visit professional astrologists? Are they going to just skip to the horoscope part of some online resource, or maybe even a newspaper, if they even look at newspapers anymore, and just they say, oh, this is what it says about me today?
I think they're going to do all of it, maybe not the actual newspapers, but I noticed that The Atlantic referred to a lot of online websites and online type of, I don't know if they're officially called magazines, but they seem to be millennial-oriented online type of sources that offer horoscope or astrology information, and it's, and one of them said the numbers in 2017 were way up above the year before on the astrology section. So I think it's going to continue. And actually, a few years ago, I read an article about computer people in the millennial generation who has so many computer people or people working in the computer industry were flooding into like the offices of psychics and astrologers, et cetera. And the idea was, or the, at least the person who wrote the article thought that because what they do is just so, I guess, I don't know, mechanical and devoid of any spirituality, that there was a spiritual hole that they were seeking to fill, and they were doing this by going to psychics and astrologers. And I actually did a Facebook post on it. It's probably at least 4 years, I'm thinking, 4 years ago. So I think that that kind of goes along with what this article is pointing out, that even if they are a little skeptical of things like astrology, it seems to offer a meaning. And the fact that it's been around so long, in a way, it makes people think maybe there's something to it. So I think that being practical and being willing to try anything, that they will seek it out. So I think, and the article implies that this is actually an increase of interest in astrology, that it's on an upswing, and mainly from the millennials. So I think we'll see it for a while. You know, how long it will stick, I don't know. And then we have to see what the generation after them is like. And I don't think anyone knows that yet, whether they will embrace it or be completely different. But I think it's going to continue. The interest is going to continue because astrology is extremely appealing. It's how you find out about yourself, supposedly, and people always find themselves interesting.
So, okay, looking back on it, when you would have someone who visited you as a professional astrologist, I'm intrigued by the idea that they think it works, because obviously people don't come and pay good money unless they think it's actually working, if they don't see some correlation between what you told them and what would happen in their lives. How do you account for that effect where people say, hey, I don't know if it's true, but it works nowadays, that working part?
I think they just see correlations. They see, I mean, I had a lot of people who came to me for the first time, came, I think, a lot of it was out of curiosity. Some of them maybe believed it a little, some weren't sure. I did do at least two charts for people who were very skeptical. The chart readings were given to them as gifts by friends, so they did not ask for it. And I remember one guy just said right at the beginning, you know, I just want to tell you, I don't really believe this stuff. Well, by the end of the session, he said, I'm amazed that how much you said was correct. So I don't know that he became a believer in it, but he was very impressed and couldn't believe some of the things I told him. So I think because astrology works on several levels or seems to work on several levels, everything in astrology is about, it's the language of human nature and cycles that we go through as human beings. And so people are going to identify with different things. And when the astrologer is talking to the person, the one thing they know about the person, if nothing else, is they know their age. They have to know their age to do their chart. And so there are certain things that happen at certain ages. And I think the astrologer, you know, just very unconsciously kind of puts that in to the reading. And then I think there's, of course, there's always coincidence. There's selective memory where the client remembers what the astrologer says that seems to be true for them and forgets what isn't true. And then I also believe, of course, this did not come up in the article, but I know astrologers have spirit guides, and I had spirit guides, and spirit guides are fallen angels, and they give you information about the person. I mean, it happened to me, so sometimes I would be very, very on target with something very specific that there's no way I could have known. I mean, even from the chart, that wouldn't have been information. So I think all of these factors work together. And I think if somebody hears just even, you know, or they're reading something and they're one of these skeptical millennials and they read two or three things about themselves that seem to be correct and that hit them as right, that's enough to spur their interest. And that's enough to get them to look again or to look into it further. So whenever you find something that's right, even if it's other things aren't right, you tend to keep on digging. And I think it's part of this desire to believe in something. And astrology can be very powerful in what it seems to offer people. It's a real strong influence on people once they go in that direction. So I think that even if there are a few hits, that somebody will continue investigating it or going towards it.
Finally, you had mentioned their divination, and then just a moment ago you had mentioned that you had some sort of spiritual, a fallen angel, some sort of demonic influence that would occasionally act there. Finally, if you would talk about the danger that even a casual, as with the millennials, a casual use of this thing we call astrology presents to everybody.
Yes, it's definite dangers. Of course, there's a danger of if you believe any of this, you become very, very self-focused and self-absorbed, because it's really all about you, and you may start relying on some of the information to make your decision, which could be really bad, because, I mean, you could make a very bad decision if you're going to base it on astrology. So that's one danger. There's a spiritual danger, of course, because astrology is not just a false system, but it's a demonic system. It's a form of divination condemned by God in the Old Testament. I want to point out quickly, there's no Hebrew word for astrology because astrology is a modern word. But the Hebrew uses terms like dividing up the sky, prognosticating by the stars, and even worship of the heavenly host, some believe, is referring to astrology. So other terms are used. And any kind of divination like this was a way for the pagan peoples to try to get information and guidance from their false gods. And the Bible makes it very clear that false gods are demons. So you're opening yourself up to some kind of demonic guidance when you go in this direction. And It can lead to confusion. It leads to spiritual confusion. It leads you away from the truth, for sure. Astrology will not lead you to the true Jesus. It might lead you to a New Age Jesus or a New Age God, but it won't lead you to the true God of the Bible or the true Jesus Christ. So it will lead you away from spiritual truth, which is probably the gravest danger of astrology. And yet I completely understand the appeal of it since I was an astrologer and I loved astrology when I did it. I loved it before I did it. I started loving it in high school, actually, a long time before I became an astrologer. I mean, I was just totally immersed in it. It was really like my world. And it can be like that. It's like a drug, and it's very dangerous. So I constantly try to warn people about the danger, but it's hard when people are attracted to it because, of course, the most dangerous things aren't things that look ugly or repel us. The most dangerous things are things that are appealing and that attract us.
Marcia Montenegro spent 8 years as a professional astrologer. She's founder of Christian Answers for the New Age. Kana has several resources on astrology. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for Christian Answers for the New Age. Marcia, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd, for having me.
In Hour 2 of Issues, etc. on this Thursday afternoon, our series on the Lutheran Confessions will continue. We'll be in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, talking first about the work of Christ, which the Reformers didn't spend a lot of time discussing, not because it wasn't important, but then on to the central issue of the Reformation, justification by grace alone, through faith alone, for Christ's sake alone. And the way that they articulated it is very, very important. The devil is in the details. We'll find out about that with Pastor Paul McCain right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.